Good morning, Lagos. This is Dr. Reba Boer with Power Solutions on Nigeria Info 99.3 FM. Happy to be back for another week talking about how we are going to solve Nigeria's endless power problems. And today, we have a special guest named M.K. Balaji, and he'll tell you more about himself. His name sounds Nigerian, but he is not Nigerian, but he'll tell you a bit about that. But he is the off-grid lead for the Nigeria Power Support Program, which is the Nigerian edition of Power Africa, the U.S. government's support for the power sector across the continent. So, Balaji, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Webe. Good morning, Nigeria. My name is Balaji, spelled with an A.
So, Balaji.
Yes.
And what that's for, you're from India, right?
Yes, I am from India.
So, in India, what does Balaji mean?
Oh, well, it's the name of a very famous Indian god.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So people named Balaji don't realize they could go to India and they would fit right in.
Absolutely. Fit in like a T. Just roll the O off and make an A out of it.
And so sometimes when you go into meetings, maybe in government offices here, and they know someone named Balaji is coming, do they get surprised when they see you?
Absolutely. So that's how I introduce myself. I always say my name is Balaji, spelled with an A.
Okay. So it's a good icebreaker in Nigeria.
Yes, it is.
All right. So, well, welcome. And thank you for coming on the show. I know you traveled in from Abuja for this, so we really appreciate that. So tell us a bit about yourself. I know you've been working in Nigeria for almost 2 years now, but obviously, you know, you had a long career and so on before that. So how did you end up here?
It's a long journey, but a very interesting one. Basically an engineer, and I started off my career working on energy and environment technologies, configuring industrial power and heating solutions.
So you've been in power basically for your whole career?
Power and energy basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from being a technology play, I got an opportunity to move on to project development, especially in low carbon technologies.
Okay.
So I moved on to the era, golden era of carbon credits.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a project developer at that time, working for a firm that was doing low carbon technologies. And then moved on to work with a private equity firm, which made investments in clean energy projects across the world.
Okay.
So I was a portfolio manager and also working on the deal side at that time.
Okay.
So moving from technology to project development to investment and managing the entire investment lifecycle,
mm-hmm.
up to exits, I had the whole rounded experience,
right.
in the clean energy sector.
Right.
And then when the time came calling from a consulting firm, which was Deloitte Consulting US, mm-hmm. It was bringing in this whole rounded experience to put into consulting. So I moved to consulting about 3 years ago.
Okay.
So 25 right. years I've been through the technology, project development and financing. And then for the last little over 3 years in consulting,
okay.
in the clean energy finance areas.
And so now in Nigeria we get to benefit from those 25 years.
Yes.
So what part of the world did you do most of your work in, or was it quite spread out globally?
Most of my work was in Asia.
Okay.
So I have been developing projects across South and Southeast Asia.
Okay.
So that's where a large part of my experience has been. I've looked at projects in other parts of the world, including the US and Brazil, when
okay.
I was with a private equity firm. But all my rich experience comes out of actually living and working in Asia.
Okay. All right. Well, then actually let's segue into that then and dig a bit into that experience. So, you know, in Nigeria we have a pretty big power gap, and I think it's something that every Nigerian feel it and talks about it almost every day, and that's obviously why you're here to help address that. But what are some of the lessons you've seen in Asia that maybe will be applicable here, and that, you know, can give us some hope that, okay, even though it seems pretty bad, other countries have actually solved it, and we can follow that.
I think as I'm scanning the environment here, I see two key areas where Nigeria is leapfrogging.
Okay.
One area which I'm closely working on is the off-grid sector.
Mm-hmm.
Nigeria has the right macro environment. It has got the right entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
It has got the technology,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of fintech and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, which are applicable easily across these kind of businesses. So that's
okay.
an area where Nigeria, I think, is better off than many of the other countries in Asia that we have seen.
Okay.
And the other area which I'm seeing leapfrogging is in the industrial side, which is the, we call it C&I, the commercial
okay.
and industrial sector, where people are installing rooftops on top of their factories or shopping malls and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
These two areas are where I think Nigeria is catching up quickly with other parts of the world. In the off-grid sector, where I work, I see Nigeria actually poised ahead to quickly overtake many of the other countries.
Okay.
Because of the volume of the business that is available here. Reportedly 100 million people need power.
Right.
Either they have no power or they have a quality of power which needs to be improved. So off-grid solutions help. And even those who are on-grid definitely are customers for off-grid solutions. So there's a huge market opportunity here, and there's a room for every type of player to be in here.
Right.
This kind of a vast landscape is not available even in say, a country like India. Though you see a large population, it's very fragmented across
okay.
different states, and there is not such a central approach as we see here in Nigeria. So that way, I think there's a positive environment here. In the C&I sector, obviously, the economics are fantastic in Nigeria because people are, the baseline is to be using generators to a large extent.
Which is very expensive.
Which is very expensive.
Right.
So there is an economic driver to do that. And obviously, there are spin-off benefits of a clean environment by going to switching to solar for partially or fully powering your homes or factories.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and let's just look at the Indian context or even Bangladesh. I know there's some countries there that we often look to here. What have they been doing to kind of close their gap? And is there something Nigeria can learn from, or maybe you guys are already introducing some of those?
Bangladesh, if they have been successful, it's also purely, on the necessity drives the need, the invention, or the necessity is the mother of invention, as we call. And Nigeria has also been, in the difference between Bangladesh and Nigeria is the density of population. Bangladesh is a lot more dense, marketing costs, etc., are a lot lower to address the same group of population compared to, say, certain parts of Nigeria where accessing the population, the cost of access are a little more higher. And so that's a big difference. So we have to kind of look at looking for synergies. Everybody need not do everything across the value chain. Our program actually has done something called as mapping the value chain for solar home system companies here, so that they can identify components of the value chain which they would like to do themselves or they would like to outsource, so that they can leverage on these synergies and cut down the costs of accessing groups of population in the country. So that's the difference. The density of population and the ease of access needs to be really panned out. And many companies here have already done. We have seen some of them actually partnering on the marketing side, some on some other sides of their value chain. But that needs to be really scaled up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's now pivot to the program that you're working on here. Your colleague Tunde Gbajemo was here a couple of months ago and spoke sort of broadly about the entire Power Africa program in Nigeria. And then you're working on the off-grid component of that. But maybe you can just give us a little bit of a reminder of what you guys are doing overall. And then let's focus on the off-grid part.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, so our program is called the Nigeria Power Sector Program. It's a USAID-funded program, and it's a Power Africa initiative. Power Africa is an initiative by USAID for improving the energy situation and power situation across sub-Saharan Africa. Our program is a five-year program, and it is implemented by Deloitte Consulting of the U.S., the program is focused on unleashing 10,000 megawatts into the grid and achieve at least 3 million new or improved connections across the five-year period that will be here.
That's just for Nigeria?
Just for Nigeria.
Okay, very ambitious. Okay.
Yeah. We, as a program, we provide technical assistance across all the components of power, which is the generation, the transmission, the distribution, and then across the enabling environment on regulatory and the policy side.
Which cuts across all of them.
Which cuts across all of them.
Yeah.
And then off-grid, which is a standalone component. And in addition to that, we are also providing support to the Nigerian government on the Nigeria gas flare admittance program.
Yeah. Okay.
So these are the broad components of our program.
Okay.
Our team is largely based in Abuja.
Okay.
And we work closely with several government stakeholders and also the private sector stakeholders, right, and work together with other donor programs.
Right. Yeah. So now your program in particular, the off-grid part, which for many of us is the most exciting part, how is that going, and what exactly are you focusing on?
So on the off-grid side, our program activities are aligned to three key areas. One is improving market transparency.
Mm-hmm.
In this area, we look at improved data availability, because data is the key for making decisions. Then improved tools for making decisions, such as what I mentioned, the value chain mapping.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have also created a risk assessment framework for mini-grid projects. So that kind of tools we produce. And we also disseminate knowledge. So we created a market intelligence report for Nigeria to inform people what the landscape is here and how should they be looking at it. They're coming and looking at doing business here in Nigeria for this sector. So that's one component, which is the market transparency. The second component focuses on financing, which is mobilizing financing. That is not only looking at sources of financing, but also looking at transaction costs and looking to reduce transaction costs and times.
Okay.
Because mini-grid projects are, the bite sizes are low.
Right.
So the transaction costs have to be less. So we're trying to standardize that part of the work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first part on mobilizing financing. The second one is innovation, of which we see plenty in Nigeria, and this is a great place to work on innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Innovation both in terms of financial models and financial structures, and also innovation in business models.
Okay.
So this is the second area that we're looking at in financing. A third area is direct support to private sector, in terms of private sector developers, solar home system companies, and also working with some of the investors, where we provide business planning support, financial modeling, helping them raise financing for their companies and businesses. So that's our other component under the financing.
Okay.
The third key area which we work on is in capacity building. And this capacity building is working together with the Nigerian government, which is largely our key stakeholder here is the Rural Electrification Agency of Nigeria. So we work closely with them in helping them build capacity. The second area where we are working on is with the mini-grid companies. The third is with the FHS companies.
Okay.
And the fourth is across other stakeholders, like the state governments and general people. So that's the fourth area of capacity building. So three key components in off-grid, market transparency, financing, and capacity building.
Okay.
And stakeholders are largely the government, as I mentioned, the private sector. And the third area is the general people, and the fourth one is all the other donor programs that are there.
Right. And do you find that on the donor side in Abuja that there's a lot of collaboration, or are many donors kind of duplicating?
So we've been trying not to duplicate. We try to work together so that we are essentially not duplicating. And sometimes we see that even if all of us have the same goal. For example, there are a number of programs that want to work on a geospatial model, and we've been trying to see how we can slice the scope so that we can synergize and get a much better product at the end of the day for the use. Yeah.
Right, and then you also, you know, you said you work closely with the Rural Electrification Agency, and I think they do a lot to kind of bring the whole sector together. At the state level, you said you do work with state governments, so are there particular states you work with, or do they kind of come to you?
So they come to us.
Okay.
Time to time, we have requests from various states to come and help them.
Okay.
And that's what we've been trying to work with. So each state comes to us with, each one has a different requirement, if I may say. Yeah. So
and do you work directly with Lagos State at this point?
We are working with the Lagos State, trying to scope out on what the support is required for Lagos State. Yeah.
Okay, good. So soon the people of Lagos will also directly feel some of the programs that you're doing.
Yes, we've already conducted a very detailed geospatial study for the state of Lagos, for each of the counties here.
Okay.
And so from the off-grid point of view, we know what's the rate of electrification, you know, how much people are willing to spend on energy and stuff like that. So for Lagos state, we've done a lot more deep dive already.
Oh, good. Okay, good, good. So, but now, what are some of the challenges that you've had in, you know, in this setting up the program, and trying to create impact and so on. What are some of the challenges that you face?
So actually, when we started about 17 months ago, across Nigeria, off-grid was still very fledgling business.
Mm-hmm.
And now, thanks to a lot of other donor programs, say, for example, the World Bank and AFDB's programs that are committing close to $500 million in financing to the sector, there is a upheaval in activities.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest challenges that we are now seeing is the scaling up challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Hitherto, most companies, as I mentioned a little while ago on solar home systems and even in mini grids, companies are trying to address every activity across the value chain.
Right.
And that's a roadblocker in terms of scaling up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to, for all of us, so it's mm-hmm. equally responsibility of donor programs
right.
for us to actually try and break down the value chain mm-hmm. into components and look at how each one of them can be scaled up. The nature of each component of the business is quite different. The life cycles of each business is quite different.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, the financing requirements and the skills required are quite different.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to kind of find a solution for 100 million plus people,
right.
then we got to think about that.
Yeah.
Just between the current donor programs and REA's Energizing Economies initiative, the requirement for funding is about $2 billion.
Right.
And if you have to address $2 billion, it cannot be one broad brush stroke.
Right, and it can't be done at $1 million deal sizes at a time.
At a time either, yeah. So we need to kind of think of how we can bundle these opportunities together.
Right. So then let's look on the more positive side. What are some of the successes you've had?
Well, I think we've been working quite closely with REA on
okay.
The Energizing Economies initiative. This time last year, I would say it was a bunch of PowerPoint slides
right.
and
okay.
a lot of passion from both REA and some of the developers. As we speak today, 15 markets have got energized. Close to 20,000 shops have been electrified,
mm-hmm.
and many of them have started paying for these.
Right.
In terms of financing, probably upwards of $10 million have been funded,
right.
including debt from a Nigerian bank.
Right.
So this is a really great achievement for the off-grid sector, for REA, and we are very glad to be supporting REA on this stuff.
Right. Okay. And I mean, and so looking forward, I mean, you have your program running, you know, quite well now. What will Lagosians be seeing in the next couple of years? Or Nigerians in general, let's say.
Well, I think what we will definitely be focusing is on the scaling up. We'll definitely be looking at creating, I would say, value across the supply chain or the value chain of both FHS and mini grids. Obviously, to bring in this kind of a scale up, we'll have to rope in several players. There are each look area of the value chain will call for different strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Some could be good in project development, some could be just good in logistics, some could be good in construction. So we got to look at players who are good at each of these activity areas, support them, motivate them.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, many of them do not understand the off-grid business.
Right.
Some of them consider it maybe not their cup of tea.
Yeah.
But then if we can disintegrate the value chain and show them the areas of their strength and bring more players into it, so that the whole sector becomes robust. It's by mm-hmm. itself a big, robust sector that's out there in the happening.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're going to go to the phone lines. Zainab, can you play the numbers for us?
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
All right. So while we wait for callers, the question I'd like to ask is: you've talked about kind of the breaking down the value chain, which opens up new opportunities. What should entrepreneurs in Nigeria be doing to prepare themselves for these opportunities?
I think one thing is, these value chains are not. First of all, let me remove the exotic thing out of the value chain. Like all value chain here, this value chain also has components, construction,
mm-hmm.
operations, maintenance, like you would see for most of the other technology areas. The customer segment here is quite different, and many of the existing players are already operating in that customer segment. So again, it's not something to be kind of get disillusioned with. So first of all, let's not imagine that this is an unknown area.
Mm-hmm.
Many of you know these individual components
right.
of the business quite well.
And just because it's in solar or whatever doesn't mean it's that different.
Yeah, the technology is the easiest fix,
right.
actually. And today, technology has matured and evolved so much that it's the easiest thing to fix. It's the other parts of the component that we need to look at. Yeah.
Okay. And what about customers? So what should, you know, as the industry grows and improves and so on, what should customers be looking for when they're thinking of what solar home system to buy or what mini grid provider to work with? What should they be looking for?
Well, the customers are definitely looking for cost
mm-hmm.
and reliability.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the two things that every company has to offer them, cost
mm-hmm.
and reliability, and the guarantee that you're there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look at a mini grid, and many mini grid customers hook up more productive loads, which are actually driving incomes for them. And they want to make sure that the mini grid provider is there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, otherwise, they are making an investment in an income generating equipment, like we call it productive load.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's no power, then they have a double whammy there.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we should make sure that we are committing cost and reliability to our customers.
Okay. Yeah. So earlier on, I asked you about some of your experience in other countries and you know, what Nigeria can learn from them. But from what you've seen in Nigeria now, I mean, you talked about leapfrogging and so on. Are there technologies emerging or business models emerging in Nigeria that you think maybe in 5 years when maybe you move to another program somewhere, you can take there?
Yeah, I think already things like many of the Nigerian companies are doing in terms of using platforms to connect and understand their customer consumption. For example, in mini grids, many of them have an integrated platform to understand what each customer is
mm-hmm.
Buying on a regular basis. This is already a very strong step. Obviously, people have platforms that are not yet scalable, but it's good to look at scalable
mm-hmm.
platforms, because today, if you look at a mini grid company, they may be having 300 customers or so, but in a year's time, they may be looking at 10x.
Mm-hmm.
So the same platform is probably not going to help you when you have 3,000 or 3,500 customers. And
right.
then maybe even more when the
right.
World Bank program kicks
right.
in.
Right.
You might be having like 20,000 customers.
Right.
So you're talking about, you know, significant growth. So,
mm-hmm.
But at least the foundation and the thinking is here. In most other countries, this is a fragmented approach in
right.
mini grids,
right.
I would say.
Right. Right.
Whereas in solar home systems, again, as we speak to most of the companies from their learning in other places and also knowing the Nigerian customers,
mm-hmm.
many of them first start with the service center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great way to do. And many
mm-hmm.
of them we've been speaking to are not willing to give up the service center because
mm-hmm.
they're very conscious that that's a brand protection
right.
Part of their business. And that's, again, a significant difference from what they do in many other countries. In many other countries, some of the companies did not go that way. The first foot here is
mm-hmm.
where to look for these service centers, how to
right.
have their call centers organized. I mean, because they understand the sheer volume of this business, and it cannot be done if your services are not in place.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we are developing things here that other countries will learn from eventually.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So now Power Africa is obviously Africa-wide.
Yeah.
Is the Nigerian situation quite different from other parts of Africa, or is do you see the same problems in many of the other countries for the power sector?
Some parts the problems are same.
Okay.
If you look at Eastern Africa, especially in there are places in Nigeria where the population density or access is low,
mm-hmm.
then it's similar to that. But in many parts of Nigeria, that's not the case. We
mm-hmm.
have. We have a much larger population density. We have a better GDP per capita.
Mm-hmm.
We also estimates show that the average revenue per user in Nigeria is much better than in other parts of Africa.
Okay.
So those are economic drivers of the business that are positive so far as Nigeria is concerned. And we see certain other things which are there in other parts of Africa we wish were here, like
okay.
for example, mobile money.
Right.
You know,
okay.
So that would be a game changer. While mobile money is always something which we all want, mobility of money has not really been a big issue here. Okay. Nigeria has been using a number of payment service providers. The transaction costs are a bit higher,
mm-hmm.
and that is something which we find it a little challenging,
mm-hmm.
Because FHS customers' affordability changes with that transaction cost. But that's something which I think over a period of time, with volumes of business increasing, those things might also not be a big deterrent.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, we've also been seeing a trend of, you know, companies that maybe have been in East Africa, even Senegal, Ghana, they're now moving into Nigeria. At what point do you think we'll start seeing some of the Nigerian companies, maybe mini grid providers, Nigerian solar home system companies, going outside to other parts of Africa? Do you think that's coming soon?
No, I think there's enough business here to keep us all busy.
Okay.
And other people will actually come and give the Nigerian players a lot more importance. So I see a clear role for the Nigerian in-country players to be part of this big scale-up. And there's a lot of value for them in that.
Right. Okay, so you think the market here is big enough?
Big enough for all of them to keep them busy.
The Nigerian players need to focus here.
And this can become a hub for, mm-hmm. for Western Africa off-grid sector, if you may.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. So, I mean, because you do hear a lot of the Nigerian entrepreneurs will say, oh, we're going to move to Ghana, we're going to move to there. I keep advising them, our market is big enough, but I'm glad that you're sharing the same view.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's lots here to do.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So we only have a few minutes left, so maybe we can end with some thoughts from you on, you know, the next 3 years of Power Africa in Nigeria, and, you know, your role in it and where you see things going and what would be success for you at the end of the program.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, as I mentioned, we are driven strongly by the metrics, and if we did what we have set out, especially in the new and improved connection area of about 3 million connections,
mm-hmm.
But that includes also the on-grid mm-hmm. connections right. that we're looking at. But that's a big thing. But in addition to that, if we are part of catalyzing this and creating the off-grid as a strong sector
mm-hmm.
by itself, then that's a big success that we would have achieved,
yeah.
working across individual components of the off-grid sector value chain, both
right.
in SHS and mini-grids,
right.
Creating capacity individually across each of those components. That will be a great achievement for us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and if the financial mobilization follows that, I mean, that there's the real metric that the world sees in, right? So
right.
if we are able to have finance flow in with that, that's great.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you, Balaji. Thank you very much for the insights and for letting the Nigerian audience, the Lagosian audience, know about your program and the benefits it's bringing to Nigeria and what we have to look for in the future. And once again, the Balaji, the Indian with a Nigerian name, thanks for coming on the show, and we look forward to keeping on with the conversation. So, Lagos, thank you for a great show this week, and we look forward to talking again next week.
Thank you all.